wonderful thing it is to know that the Lord is our shepherd. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. We will read a little bit about that. And the Lord being our shepherd. John, chapter 10. If you'll go down with me to verse 11. John, chapter 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. The Lord tells us, Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this commandment from my Father. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, that you are a good shepherd. Help us always stay close to you every day. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to glean from your word. And we may be more like you, Lord. Truly be, in the sense of the word, Christians, Lord. To be like Christ, thine only Son, who died for us, Lord, and rose again. We thank you, Father, who's walking with us. Every day, help us to walk in obedience and cooperation with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, giving the words to preach this morning. Give us all hearts and minds open to your word every moment, every day, Lord, till we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. We come here to John chapter 10 and go with me now to verse 1 of this chapter. Lord says, very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. Just as he tells us down in verse 11 that he is the good shepherd. He's the only good shepherd. There's no other shepherd. There's not 15 of them that'll guide us and show us the way. There's only one. That's Jesus Christ, God's only Son. He tells us very truly, very, verily, as some translations, this is the truth of the matter. He says, I tell you, anybody who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. There's only one way into the sheepfold of God's kingdom. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to the Father, the only way to heaven, the only way to peace, the only way to joy and to true love is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. He says, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in another way, is a thief and a bandit. Verse 2 says, but the one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. Praise God, that's Jesus. He's the shepherd. They'd have these stone places to keep the sheep, their pens, and they'd have one gate there, only one way in and one way out. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. Praise God, we have our shepherd that enters it first. He entered death first on our behalf and died on the cross of Calvary. He rose again first on our behalf. He lived a perfect life first. On our behalf, we can't ever look towards heaven and tell God, you just don't know what it's like, because He does. He was here. Jesus lived it, and He was in every way tempted. Anyway, any sin, He was tempted by it, Hebrews tells us, yet found without sin. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus enters the gate first. He's leading us. He's a leader. He's leading us and showing us the way. In verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. Praise God. He calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him. He says in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the good shepherd. That's Heavenly Father who created us all. He created everybody, and he always gives everybody a chance to call upon the name of the Lord. He's given us that prevenient grace as Wesley called it, that grace for everybody on earth to look up into heaven and say, Lord, I love you. I want to know you. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Anybody can do that because of God's grace in Jesus. We can all turn towards him, but it must be only turning towards him through Jesus. That's the only way. It says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. God provides that opportunity, and he's providing the opportunity for everybody. If you'll turn towards heaven, you'll always find the throne room of mercy open. The throne of mercy open from God's heavenly kingdom. He says here, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear it. They listen. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He didn't just call us by some stranger. He's not just some God out there in the cosmos looking down, estranged to us, as the deist would say, or so many people would believe. No, he's a personal God. He knows you by name. He knows me by name. He knows everybody by name, and he loves you. He wants you to know you personally and to walk with you personally. He's a personal God. It's not just collectively. He dealt with all mankind collectively, sure, on the cross, but he did more than that. He dealt with us individually. Jesus didn't just die for all humanity, which he certainly did, but he died for each person individually out of love. As that old hymn I like says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, and sure are you, everybody was. God, very God in the flesh. He loves us. He's a personal God. Call to him personally, not to somebody out there. He's called Heavenly Father for a reason. When we say our Father who art in heaven, that was a very big deal, especially we're used to it now. But in the New Testament age, you didn't call just anybody Father. You certainly wouldn't just look toward God and call him Father. The Jewish people heard that and they thought, my word, calling the Lord Father? But he is. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves us. He loves us. He loves you. Always call to him personally. It says here, he calls his own sheep by name. He calls you by name. Praise God, our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life when you put your faith in him. He calls his own sheep by name, and then he leads them out, shows them the way. Sometimes God's children are led out. Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Sometimes in this life, it's not going to be all laying on a flat blanket and sunshine and roses. Sometimes there will be hard times. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart. For I have overcome the world. He called a sheep by name, and he leads them out. He leads them out of the sheepfold. Be laboring to follow the Lord, to do things his way, to do things for the kingdom, and to go out there and graze. I love that old hymn, sheep may safely graze because of Jesus, because of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He knows us and cares for each one of us, leads them out. As it talks about how he leaves the 99 sheep to go get the one that's lost. He always loves us. Go to him. Go to him while there's still time. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. Not only does he didn't just bring out the sheep and kick them out of the sheep pen and say, go about your way and go grazing. No, he leads us. First, it says, for us, as God's sheep, as the Bible says, we are the sheep of his pasture, as his people. He goes before us. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. He goes towards us first. He goes ahead of us first. There's nowhere God calls you to go. There's nowhere God tells you to do that he is not right there with you. He's always there with you. The Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. The Old Testament tells us, be strong, take heart, and fear not. We ought not fear. We ought not to be a fearful people as God's children. We ought to be bold, not in ourselves, not in our own strength, but in the strength of Almighty God, the power of his word. This isn't just some book that we've got right here. This is the word of Almighty God, the sharper than a two-edged sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the only weapon in the armor of God. Brothers and sisters, God says that his word will never return back void. Never. It will accomplish the purpose that's sent forth. God tells you to share the word with somebody or give somebody the word of God or tell them about Jesus. It's not going to return void because this is God's word. This is powerful. It's alive. It's active. It's not a dead book. It says when he has gone out, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He's leading us. As we just read in the psalm, he leads me beside the still waters. He leads us. He shows us the way. A shepherd's there to guide, but a shepherd's also there to correct. He'll show us the way with his rod and his staff. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. God's going ahead of us, going before us. Every day, you can trust him, just as the children of Israel, when they're wandering, going through, following the Lord. What did he tell them? He sent an angel to go before them with the flaming swords to guide them every day. The soles of their shoes didn't even wear out because God was with them. How much more can we do today, every day, when we truly, fully trust the Lord, 100%, not part of the way? When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. it's fitting that the Lord describes us as sheep, because what do sheep do? They follow each other sometimes a little too much. If one's starting to get in the miry muck, I saw a video one time comparing it. This man had a big old ditch they're digging. I guess they're putting in a water line or something. And the sheep was stuck in it. Well, he pulled the sheep out, and it started running. It was so happy and went right in back in that ditch again. Isn't that how God's children do sometimes when we're refusing to walk in the ways of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? We get out of the ditch. God pulls us out of the ditch, and we run all excited and then go right back in it. We got to be careful to follow the Lord and stay close to the shepherd. But he don't just look at us in the ditch and take his boot and kick us down in there. He pulls us out every time. Always go to his throne of mercy every day. Always go to him and stay close to the shepherd. Sheep sometimes don't have a lot of sense, but that can be said about a lot of people. About us all sometimes. Each and every one of us sometimes don't have a lot of sense when we look at what God tells us. He tells us so plainly what we should do and how to follow him. So often we're veering and not going on a straight and narrow way. Lord, help us to always follow him. Stay close to the shepherd. That devil, we're described as sheep in the Bible. And the devil's described as a lion prowling about seeking whom he may devour. A devil, he's not scared of you or me. What's he scared of? He's scared of the good shepherd. He's scared of the Lord, God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. That's who he trembles and fears. That's who he trembles and fears before. So he knows his fate will be in the lake of fire for all eternity. That's where he will be cast. It's prophesied. The demons knew it when Jesus cast them out. They know it. They know where they're going, but they want to take you there with them. But God has made a way. Stay close to the shepherd so you're not devoured. He says here, the sheep follow him. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. He's always ahead of them. And notice here, it says the sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's a lot of voices we'll be hearing around here in this world. We'll hear the verse of Almighty God, hallelujah, from the Word of God, the Spirit of God to show us. By prayer, we have the voice of God to show us. There's a lot of other voices. There's a voice of the devil, of the principalities of darkness. There's a voice of the world. There's all kinds of voices that's going to be talking to you every day. Maybe not literal voices, but spiritual voices. They're all the time talking, trying to lead you this way, lead you that way. The world's pulling you in different directions. The Bible says that we need not be unstable in our ways, double-minded, like someone going back and forth, like the sea, a ship tossed to and fro on the sea of the ocean. We need to be solid, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We need to be careful what we're listening to, what voice we're hearing. It says here, the sheep hear his voice. He calls out his sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep hear his voice. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know it. God will never, ever speak to your heart, tell you something. He'll never tell you anything by the Holy Spirit. He'll never tell you anything contrary to the Word of God. Everything the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if he speaks to your heart or anything, it's going to be in line with the Word of God. Every time, 100%. So many people are basing their faith on feelings so often. It's a sad thing because feelings change. I may feel like eating McDonald's today, and tomorrow I'll feel like Hardee's. It can be trivial on something to eat like that, but so too can our spiritual walk. If we base it on feelings, I may feel one way one day and feel exact opposite the next. But if we base our faith on the Word of God, on his say, what is thus saith the Lord, instead of what thus saith my heart, follow the Lord first and foremost. The world will tell you, follow your heart. Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and eternally wicked. Don't follow it. It changes. God's renewing our heart. He's renewing our mind. But we got to do that by the Word of God. Don't follow anything but God's way and his word. He will keep us on the straight and narrow way. He'll keep us on the path. He leads us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake, as we read in the psalm. He leads us. We got to be willing and cooperative. If you're going to lead me down the road here, if I got a blindfold on, you're going to lead me down there to the big highway. I got to be cooperating with you. I can't be trying to run from you if I don't know where I'm at. Even if I can see, if I don't know where I'm at and you're going to lead me to a certain road, if I've never been here before, I got to cooperate with you. We don't know the future. I don't know it. If we knew the future, we'd mess it up before we got there. But praise God, he knows the future. He's got it in his hands and he'll show us. We have to cooperate with him as he's walking us toward the future, as he's walking us every day. We got to listen, know his voice. It says here, the sheep follow him because they know his voice, and it's true. With sheep, real sheep out there, they know their voice. Animals know your voice. It's an amazing thing how God created the animals, and they know your voice. Heard a friend of mine telling a story one time about when he was growing up in Kentucky. His grandma had 3 dairy cows, and they all knew their name, and she'd holler each one at a time, and they'd come down the hill walking there. And he said, well, they just know that. She said, well, try it yourself. And he tried it, but they didn't show up for him. She even reversed the names, everything else. They'd never show up for his voice, but when she'd call him, them cows would start coming down the hill to be milked because they knew her voice. They knew who she was. If we know our Heavenly Father's voice, just like sheep follow him because they know their voice, they follow their shepherd, then we will know which way to go if we're following him. But can you tell a difference between the voices of this world and the voice of Almighty God? Can you tell a difference? The voice of God, it is never his will ever for you to fall into sin. He'll never lead you there. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you know his voice? Do you know what God will tell you? Are you listening? Are you being attentive? We got to be attentive to what God says. Lord, help us. We got to be obedient. Got to be a sheep of his pasture. Help us, Father. Sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you know the voice of God? Can you tell the difference if it's a discerning heart with the word of God? Help us, Lord, to do that. It takes discernment. In verse 5, they will not follow a stranger. They won't do it. Why is that? But they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Oh, Lord, help us. How many of God's children don't run from the strange voices, but they listen to them? They entertain them instead of fleeing. The Bible says, flee. It says, run away from immorality. It says, flee temptation. It says, flee away, just as Joseph did when he was tempted in Potiphar's house by Potiphar's wife. What does he do? He didn't just kind of sit there and fiddle around with temptation and talk about it. No, he fled it. He ran away. Straight out of his robe, he ran away. Flee it. Lord, help us to do that. Flee immorality, the Bible tells us to flee it. Run away from it. Get as far away from it as we can. So often we're bad as God's children about treating sin like it's just a little Debbie cake. It won't hurt you. It won't bother you. But we really should be treating it like a rattlesnake. That sucker will bite you. It'll bite us. Sin will bite us. And what does a rattlesnake do when it bites you? It poisons you. It's venomous. That's what sin is in our lives. It's venomous. We got to get it out of our lives. We got to flee from it. Help us, Lord, to do that. He says there, they will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. We need to be running away from these things, fleeing temptation, running where? Not just out in the open, but running to the Good Shepherd. We may hear his voice, running to his word, the word of God, so we may discern, that we may have strength. We can build ourselves up. We can renew our mind. We can train ourselves to be closer to him. We got to be trainable. We got to be teachable children of God, that the shepherd may lead us, that Jesus may lead us and show us the way. It says here, they will not follow a stranger. Are you following a stranger this morning? Or are you following the voice of God? Help us, Lord. He said, but they will not run. They will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They didn't understand it. So in verse 7, he says, so again, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. He says, I am the gate. I'm the one. I am. Notice here, he says, I am. So often he says, I am. He's not using that just as, that's what I am, but he's playing on words back there to way back in the Old Testament when he told Moses, I am that I am. He's drawing attention to that. Remember who this is. This is Jesus Christ. This is God's eternal Son that was there in the beginning. John chapter 1 tells us all things were created by him. There wasn't nothing that was created without him. It was all done through him by Heavenly Father. We need to trust him. He created the world. You know, if you've got something tore up and you don't know how to fix it, if it's too complicated, well, it's just like his piano. It was tore up for a while. I don't know anything about electric pianos. There's no way on earth I could fix that thing. So what do? You go to take it to somebody that knows about it, that knows what they're doing with it. You take it to someone that's trained in how they work, or maybe even someone that builds those things. God built this world. He built me. He built you. We can always go to him. He understands more deeply about how the world works. If we don't have a question about the world, where do we go? You don't go to the world. They don't know. You go to God who created heaven and earth. We go to Jesus. He says here, Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. Go to him. He knows. He created this world. He knows all things. Go to him. Go to the wealth of knowledge. Just a well of knowledge. The living waters of Revelation talks about that it will never run dry. It gets deeper and deeper in his word. He says, they're all who came before me are thieves and bandits, every one of them. But the sheep did not listen to them. God's true sheep didn't listen to them. Why is that? Because they know the voice of the shepherd. They know the voice of the one that owns them, that loves them, the one that created them. But the sheep did not listen to them. There's a lot of goats masquerading as sheep in the Old Testament times. Same thing for today. In Jeremiah's day, what did they do? They'd have the temple services. They'd get together and they'd hallowing read the scriptures. Wouldn't even care in their heart, wouldn't even care in their mind. They'd just read it just for the sake of reading it. And they'd get up there and enlarge the tassels. And Jeremiah came and preached the true word of God to them. And they hated it. They despised it. The Bible talks about in Ezekiel when the Holy Spirit left the temple of God. And then they were taken captive by the Babylonians. They weren't listening. God was speaking through Jeremiah, his word. Why was it? They weren't true sheep. They were not... had not put their faith in God. They were listening to the other prophets, the seers of paganism, these other ones that tickle their ears to tell them what they wanted to hear, that, oh, we don't have to worry about Babylon. Same thing goes today and today, every day. There's nothing new under the sun. Instead of listening to the word of God, listening to what the shepherd says, they're listening to all the other ways, the thieves and the bandits. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. He said, I am the gate. He's the only gate. There's not more than one gate. There's only one way in to get one of those things. It's through the gate. So too, there's only one way to the kingdom of heaven. It's through Jesus. He says here, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved. Praise God. Will be saved. Not might be, not could be saved. He says, whoever enters by me will be saved. If you enter by Jesus, if you put your faith in him, you are saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can stay saved. Stay with him. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. You'll come in to safety with the Lord, and you'll go out and find pasture, but you're not going out and finding pasture alone. You're there with Jesus. You're there with the flock. You're there with Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, showing us the way, guiding us every way. The shepherds back there in Israel wouldn't just turn them out in the field and stand around lean propped up watching them. They had to guide them. So often in Israel and places, it's not just luscious fields, as I've read and saw pictures of. And many like Maggie, you've been there. It's not always luscious fields. Sometimes those shepherds have to guide them on where to find the good grass, where to go. We need to be following the Lord. Where are we going to go to get the good grass, to get the nourishment? A good shepherd's going to lead them. He's going to lead them where they need to go, lead them sheep to where the good grass is. So too, Jesus is going to lead us to nourishment, to spiritual nourishment. He doesn't want us to be famished. The Bible says that there's a very great famine taking place. Not a famine of meat and bread, but a famine of hearing the word of God so often. Lord, help us. We don't want to be famished on that, but we can have all we want of the word of God. It's called the bread of life. Jesus is the word made flesh, the bread of life. He's not the very expensive cake of life that you only eat once a year or once a week. No, he's the bread of life. Bread is something you eat every day. Consume the word of God. Jesus said, unless you take me in and consume the bread of life. What does that mean? If I take bread and eat it, it doesn't just hang out my stomach as bread. No, it dissolves and nourishes me. It gets all in my bloodstream. So too, Jesus needs to be getting up in our heart and mind. The word of God does. We need to consume it into us, just as Revelation, he's told to eat the book. We need to eat the book, not physically, but spiritually. We need to get this book inside of us and let it get in our very blood, everywhere around us, and nourish us. Every inch of us. We eat something, it gets in every inch of us. We need to eat this spiritually and let it get inside of us and nourish us and show us the way, just as Christ bid us. He says here, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. He says here, they will come in and go out. They will find pasture. People seeking pasture so often. They're seeking peace. They're seeking joy in all these other things of the world, but it'll never pay off. It'll never give you peace and joy. Only Jesus Christ can give you peace and joy. It says here in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The thief, oh, the devil, the father of lies, the thief, any kind of thief. There's a lot of thieves out there, a lot of spiritual thieves. They'll steal your joy, steal your ways, steal the word of God from you if you're not holding it tight. The thief comes only to steal. God's word's always there for you. Go to it, don't throw it away. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. That devil, he wants to steal you away. Now, he can't, the Bible tells us, our salvation is held in the palm of God's hand. We're in his very palm. The devil can't steal your salvation from you. He can't take it and jerk it from you and say, here you go, you don't have it no more. No, it's held in God's hand. It's our duty to be good stewards of it. What we can do is take it and throw it away and walk away from the Lord. And the devil knows that. He knows he can't steal your salvation from you while you're sleeping at night, but he knows he can slowly sink poison into your mind until you throw it away, till you turn away and fall away from the ways of God. Come back to God every day. Stay close to him. That devil, he knows exactly what to bait his hook with. He can see slow poison in your mind. He says here, the thief comes only to steal. He wants to steal you away from the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. He can't steal you away without your consent. As a child of God, you're saved, you're sealed. But you can walk away from the Lord, and the devil knows that. He knows that he can't steal you away in that way, but he steals you away by tricking you and by trying to get you to walk away from the Lord. He wants to steal you away, but God's, stay close to him. Not only that, he wants to kill you. It says the thief comes only to steal and to kill. He wants to kill you. He wants your life to end. Why does the Bible say the wages of sin is death? We're not just talking about eternal death. We're talking about physical death. Sin leads to death. We're all going to die one day, but sin will take you there earlier. The thief comes only to steal and to kill. Now, some folks live longer. Some folks don't live so long. Now, that may or may not be. Some people, God just takes out of this world early. And it's nothing to do with sinfulness in their life. The Lord has the appointed time. Some of us have longer in here this world, and some have a shorter amount of time. It's reflecting the Word of God for us. The reasons for that are between a person and the Lord. The thief comes only to steal and to kill. The devil wants you gone. Not only that, and destroy. The devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your witness. He wants to destroy your soul. He wants to destroy your life. Excuse me. He's got a plan to do that. The Bible tells us that we need to hold fast, that we can stand against the schemes of the devil, whereas King James says the wiles of the devil, the plots of the devil. He's got a place plotting on you. He's making a scheme to lead you away from the Lord. We need to have a battle plan in order. We need to have a plan. What are you going to do? Are you going to serve the Lord? We got our orders right here. We got the Word of God, our instructions. Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to him. He'll protect us. As it talked about with old King David when he was a shepherd, he killed all the animals that were attacking his sheep because they stayed close to him. He killed the bear. He killed the lion. He killed all these things, the Bible tells us. So too will our good Heavenly Father do. You stay close to the shepherd. He'll take his rod, his staff. He will comfort us and protect us. Stay close to him. When the devil comes and attacks, stay close to him. We can't stand on our own. We can't defend ourselves. A sheep can't defend itself against the big old bear. Praise God. But when the sheep stays close to the shepherd, we can fight with the Word of God. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. We got to rely on the shepherd 100% for our protection, for our salvation, for our sanctification. Rely on him. What we do is we go to him. We pray to him. We put ourselves towards him and we listen to him. He says here, he knows what he's doing. Follow him. He says, that may be what the thief came to do. He said, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, more abundantly. Not just life, but life more abundantly, eternal life. But down here below, he wants us to have a harvest of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I'm not just saying life more abundant in worldly possession, though it's deeper than that. It's not just that. Sometimes God's children have more than others. That's beside the fact. It's all going to be burned up some days anyways, and the book of Peter tells us our treasure should be laying up in heaven where the moth cannot and rust cannot corrupt and destroy. He says here, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, life more abundant, by the peace of God, by the Word of God, by trusting in him, by the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we have life and have it abundantly. As he tells us in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, he's the good shepherd. We forget, you know, when God created heaven and earth, what did he call it? He says, it is good. It is good. A lot of times when you say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. That may mean you're just doing all right. Well, in the Bible, good means it's truly wonderful. Good. He said he created the heavens and earth and he called it good. It's a wonderful thing. We don't use good without what it really means. I am the good shepherd, the wonderful shepherd, the greatest shepherd ever was. I am the good shepherd. That's Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and he did. Praise God, on Calvary, he did. But he didn't leave it laid down. As he told us, he had the power to take it up again by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says here, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He did it for us. In verse 12, the hired hand, who is not the sheep and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. They don't care. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. This world, it doesn't care about your eternal soul. It doesn't care about all these things. But Jesus does. stay close to him. Just a hireling that money can buy. You can't buy salvation with a check. It's a free gift by Jesus. The kind you can buy, the stuff you can buy. What's he say about the hired hand, the hireling, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, runs away, hanging out to dry. But Jesus doesn't do that. It says the wolf snatches them and scatters them. If you're putting your faith in something else, if you're putting your faith in the riches of the world or anything of the world, it's just a hireling. It's temporary. They'll leave you. But Jesus will never leave you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, he says. He says here, the hired hand. He says it's the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. World does not care for your eternal soul. That's why the world produces so many things to draw you away from eternity, away from the ways of God. Praise God, he's not that way. He's the opposite. He says he's here. He says, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He is the good shepherd. The Bible says we are bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus. It wasn't silver or gold or any of that, just as they told him when they raised that man up. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We may not have silver and gold. We may not have anything on this world, but we'll always have Jesus if we'll stay to him. If we'll trust in him, you always have Jesus. We'll always be richer, beyond gain when we have Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. He knows his own. He knows who his children are, and his own know him. Do you know the Lord truly? Is your faith in him? Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep on their behalf. Out of love, he laid his life down for us. But praise God, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to me. He was talking about us, me and you, the Gentiles. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. There's not a Jewish flock, as some teach, and then a Gentile flock, and they've got different destiny. No, that doesn't exist. There's one flock and one shepherd. That's Jesus. All the races, all the people, all the nations, all the kingdoms, you know, we got borders and nations, this world, that's fine and good. It has a purpose, but in the end of God, the kingdom of God transcends all that. The kingdom of God's far beyond all that. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. They will listen. Are we listening? So there will be one flock, one shepherd. There's one kingdom of God. One kingdom of God for all of God's children. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's right here. Jesus said it's his Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of God is among us now. And one day, it will come down and be one new heaven, new earth. He says here, there will be one flock, one shepherd. Are you with the good shepherd? For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me. The devil didn't steal Jesus' life and laugh at him. No. But I lay it down on my own accord. He did it on our behalf. Just as a shepherd gives his life for his sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down. He had the choice. It wasn't predestined and forced before the beginning of time, and he had no option. No, Jesus chose out of love for us. Out of full love, he did it willingly. He died for us willingly. Not only that, I had the power to lay it down. He had the power to choose. I had the power to take it up again. And praise God, he did by the power of the Holy Ghost. He rose again. That same Spirit lives in me and you, and we're born again in the family of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us. That's a powerful Spirit, isn't it? It's the most powerful that ever was. It raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. I've received this command from my Father. Praise God, he has. But notice here, how their reaction. How are you going to react? How are we going to react to what Jesus tells us? Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. God's word will bring division in this world. It's the word of God. It will bring division. Shouldn't be bringing division among the body of Christ, but it will bring division between the sheep and the goats. There's a division there. Anybody can be a sheep. They'll come to him, but so many reject it. Many of them were saying he has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him? Many people will say that Jesus was a nice teacher, but they didn't believe he is the Son of God. If you read this, if you believe his teachings, he has to be the Son of God. He can't just be a nice man and a nice teacher. He is God's only Son. If you accept his teaching, you will believe that. Why listen to him, they said. Others were saying, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind? He wasn't a demon. He was God's Son. He's a good shepherd that loves us the most. We have a choice how we're going to react. The Jews were divided because of these words just then. His words are dividing all of time to this very day. We have the choice. He tells us, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he did that. We need to remember, verily, truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in it another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you, are you following the good shepherd? Is your faith in him? And are you allowing him, are you cooperating with his shepherd in you? Are you allowing him to guide you and show you the way? Or being stiff-necked like the children of Israel? Are you a willing vessel for the Lord? Are you a willing sheep? Take a moment and pray to him and discern it. And if you've got something between you and the Lord, pray to him. Listen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and more worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are our shepherd. Help us, Lord, to be willing to be guided by you. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to guide us, that you're here with us, that you're not distant, but Lord, you're ever present in our time of need, as the word says. We thank you, Father. Bless each and every one of these people and help us all as your children, as your sheep, the sheep of your pasture, to be cooperative with you and to listen to you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll turn with me to hymn number 357, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, 357. And we'll sing this, and that's how we come to the Lord, just as we are, and he will shepherd us and take care of the rest.
Let's do 1 through 4.